Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 2 of Beyond the Supernatural. This page contains the copyright declaration for the book, the big list of trademarks, a dedication by Kevin Sambita to Randy McCall, who was one of the co-creators of the original Beyond the Supernatural that the two of them worked together on, the first edition of the game. We'll get back to that soon. But the dumbest thing on this page, and this is one of those things that you just have to believe me for the moment, that it's dumb. The dedication is signed, Kevin Sambita, 2005. This book, the second edition of Beyond the Supernatural, is from 2005. That is the dumbest thing on this page. It's one of the dumbest things about this book. And I'm going to spend today, because this is just front matter, we're not really into like the dark gothic meat of this book yet. I'm a vegetarian, but let me just real quick put in my vote that dark meat should be called goth meat. When you, next time you're slicing up the turkey, try out this new terminology. Can I get you a slice? Would you like twee meat or goth meat? Here's the thing. There's a really interesting timeline for Beyond the Supernatural. First edition Beyond the Supernatural came out in 1988, and it's quite different from the second edition. The 1988 version is much more of a straight-ahead horror game because it's coming out of a different time, right? And it's coming out of a different tradition. If you look on the Wikipedia page for Beyond the Supernatural, it actually quotes a gaming magazine referring to Call of Cthulhu as a competitor game to Beyond the Supernatural. It comes from a time when horror gaming is horror gaming because the monsters are too tough for you. Horrible things are probably going to happen to your character. Maybe you play characters who are a little less strapping fantasy heroes than in other genres. That's 1988. That's where we are in horror gaming. 3 years after that, Vampire the Masquerade comes out. 1991, huge revolution in role-playing. Like, I think if you weren't in gaming in the 90s, you can easily underestimate how huge Vampire the Masquerade was, even for people who didn't play it. It was one of the few games, like Dungeons & Dragons, that changed the hobby for people who weren't playing that particular game, because it changed groups. It changed people's conception of what a role-playing game was supposed to be, what the sessions were supposed to be like, and what they were supposed to be about, who role-playing games were for. It was hugely influential. And Vampire the Masquerade is a gothic horror game. It's actually characterized in the text as goth punk, a wonderful amalgam of styles and subcultures chosen to be as immortal as the immortal protagonists of Vampire the Masquerade. Surely, said the writers of White Wolf in 1991, neither goth nor punk is going anywhere. And as we know, it came to pass. Bauhaus, still the biggest band in the world. Mopey teenagers in clown white, still the dominant voice in our public discourse. The spiky mohawk remains one of the most common and unironic hairstyles. So it was a prescient game in that sense. Vampire the Masquerade is huge. Horror becomes big, not only in role-playing games, but everywhere. Because after Vampire the Masquerade comes out, then the next year, the rest of the World of Darkness starts, right? So you get Werewolf the Apocalypse and Mage, etc., etc. But outside of that, the Buffy movie, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, comes out in like 95 or somewhere around then. After that, the year after that, the X-Files comes out. Then you get Buffy the series in 1997. And then there's all this other stuff coming out. The Crow, Forever Night, Sandman, DC's series, right? It's revolutionizing comic books at the same time. So this like secret paranormal stuff, modern day setting, vampires as protagonists, monsters lurk among us, wearing trench coats, fight in alleyways. This is a massive multimedia fad. TV, movies, music, role-playing games, comic books, everything. And a lot of these are long-lived, too. Like, as much as you think of these as products of the 90s, you know, there is a period of, like, deep 90s where this is the most prevalent and the most sort of caricatured. But things like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, like The X-Files, like the World of Darkness game line, went on for a long time. In fact, I mean, looking at the major pillars of this style, of this subgenre, I'd say maybe 15 years pass after the release of Vampire the Masquerade that this fad's still going pretty strong. And then finally, like, the classic World of Darkness ends, Buffy is gone, Angel is on its way out, The X-Files is done. And for all that this is this huge movement toward horror in a modern setting, with, like, psychics and investigators battling the forces of darkness, for real, it's not hyperbole, it's not Kevin Sambita hyperbole, for real, Palladium published a game in 1988 that got a piece of this before it became popular. Beyond the Supernatural came out in 1988, just before this became a huge deal. So naturally, Palladium capitalized on getting here first by releasing a sequel, a second edition, 17 years later. In 2005, like a year after it ended, for 15 years, nothing but grim, dark protagonists using their psychic powers and summoning demons in trench coats, fighting monsters, and yet becoming monsters themselves. Decade and a half. And then it slows, it drops down to a trickle, it finally ends. And then 1 year later, Palladium is like, trench coats, everybody, am I right? Beyond the Supernatural, second edition, get hype. That's when this game with fucking Mulder and Scully on the cover comes out. 17 goddamn years later. That's almost 2 decades of development time to get a second edition to this game. Missing the entire thing. Coming in after it's dead. Just when it's gone out of style, here comes Palladium with its take on this trend. I think that, and in part, it's why this encompasses so much from so many sources. You know, Call of Cthulhu is in here, X-Files is in here, World of Darkness role-playing games are certainly in here. All this stuff is in here because we've had 15 goddamn years for every variation on this subgenre to get used and told and retold and subverted until everybody is fucking sick of it. And then finally, here comes Palladium. So the fact that this game didn't come out until 2005 is the dumbest thing in this page. It's a huge blunder and missed opportunity from Palladium. But for our, like, scientific purposes, this is wonderful. It's like how we can observe stars by the light that they emitted in a distant age, but it's just now reaching us. In the same way, because Palladium is like 15 to 20 years behind current events at any given time, this game that came out in 2005 actually gives us a wonderful insight into and role-playing adaptation of what was cool in like 1991. So that's what we're going to get in this book. Dark, moody, alleyway-heavy role-playing through the lens of Kevin Sambita, who has just realized 15 years too late that this is what the kids like nowadays. Join me next time as we get the last boring bit of front matter out of the way before diving into this game headfirst on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.